This goes to Dr. Power, P-O-W-E-R, fax 989-775-1640. Regarding Carolyn, C-A-R-O-L-Y-N, middle initial C, born, be like a boy, O-R-N, date of birth 3/13/1954. Dear Dr. Power, this is a consultation for Mrs. Bourne, who was sent for evaluation of worsening creatinine levels starting December 4th of 2023. Prior to that, in January of 2023, creatinine was 1.3, GFR 45. April 20th of 23, creatinine 1.3 with GFR 45. 12/4/23, creatinine increased to 1.68, GFR 34. 2/20 of 24, creatinine 1.75, GFR 31. April 3rd of 24, creatinine 1.66, GFR 33. July 10th of 24, creatinine 1.63, GFR 34. And 7/15 of 24, creatinine 1.78, GFR 30. That was the day of her cardiac catheterization also. That was probably pre-cardiac cath. The patient was thought to have cardiac amyloidosis, but she did have a heart biopsy December 4th of 23 in Ann Arbor, and that was negative for amyloidosis. She has had persistent atrial fibrillation, and the symptoms for her are daily fatigue and chronic shortness of breath with exertion. She also has chronic edema of the lower extremities. They were hoping to be able to do a cardiac ablation in Ann Arbor and get her into a sinus rhythm again. She has had type 2 diabetes for many years, and it's been poorly controlled. She was started on Ozempic and then titrated up to the maximum dose of Ozempic, 2 milligram weekly, and that has actually helped quite a bit. Controlled blood sugar, and also she's lost 45 pounds over the last year, and she's hoping to lose more weight. And blood sugars are improving. She did stop her metformin when renal function became worse. She was on 500 milligram twice a day, but when it stopped, the hemoglobin A1C jumped up to 9.8 from 9.1. So it was restarted at a very low level of 500 milligram once a day. And she's tolerating that well. She does get very nauseated and generally vomits once or twice after she takes the Ozempic. And then as the week goes on, she feels better, and then, of course, she repeats the Ozempic. Currently, she denies headaches or dizziness, no history of stroke or TIA, no migraine history. She has chronic shortness of breath on exertion, no current orthopnea or PND. She has no chest pain or palpitations. She can't actually feel the atrial fibrillation, she states. She does have joint pain, including back pain, and a history of psoriatic arthritis. And that's fairly well controlled at this point. Chronic edema of the lower extremities. She urinates adequate amounts, occasionally has nocturia, no incontinence, no cloudiness or blood in the urine. And she has decreased sensation, especially on the tops of both feet, and was told that was probably secondary to her diabetes. Past medical history is significant for a history of type 2 diabetes, uncontrolled, diabetic neuropathy, coronary artery disease. She's had a CAT scan of the chest without contrast. That was done 6/18 of 24, and that showed severe coronary arterial calcification. Although the cardiac catheterization was negative for significant obstruction, that would require stent placement, although it does show calcification, generalized calcification. And hyperlipidemia, congestive heart failure, chronic persistent atrial fibrillation, chronic dyspnea on exertion, obesity, osteoarthritis, psoriatic arthritis, and a history of kidney stones, not for many years. Past surgical history, she's had cataract extraction, lumbar spine surgery, ankle surgery, ACL repair, carpal tunnel release, heart biopsy, 12-4 of 23, to rule out cardiac amyloidosis, which was negative, and cardiac catheterization, 7-15 of 24, also at U of M. Social history, she is a non-smoker. She occasionally consumes alcohol. She denies illicit drug use. She is married, lives with her husband, and she's retired. Family history is significant for heart disease, stroke, hypertension, hyperlipidemia, cancer, congestive heart failure, myocardial infarction, ulcerative colitis, and atrial fibrillation. Review of systems as stated above, otherwise negative. Drug allergies, she's allergic to Norco. Medications, aspirin 81 milligram daily, magnesium 250 milligram daily, diltiazem 360 milligram daily, metoprolol 25 milligram daily, aldactone 25 milligram daily, Coumadin, dosed according to INR, Lasix 80 milligram daily, Ozempic 2 milligram weekly, metformin is 500 milligram daily, Lipitor 40 milligram daily, vitamin D3, 1,000 milligram daily, 1,000 micrograms, actually 1,000 units once daily. Stelara injections every 3 weeks for psoriatic arthritis. Physical exam, height is 67 inches, weight 220 pounds, pulse 87 and irregularly irregular. Blood pressure, left arm sitting, large adult cuff, 102 over 60. Tympanic membranes and canals are clear. She does have bilateral hearing aids. Pharynx is midline, pharynx is clear with midline uvula. Neck is supple, no thyroid enlargement, no lymphadenopathy, no jugular venous distension, no carotid bruise. Lungs are clear without rales, wheezes, or effusion. Heart is irregularly irregular with a controlled rate of 84. Abdomen is obese, non-tender. No enlarged liver or spleen, no ascites, no pulsatile areas or masses. Extremities, 1 to 2 plus edema, feet and ankles about midway up the calves bilaterally. And decreased sensation in feet and ankles bilaterally. Pulses, 2 plus pedal and pretibial pulses. No ulcerations or lesions are noted. In labs and diagnostic studies, 7-11 of 24, hemoglobin 12.9, normal white count, normal platelets, creatinine 1.73, calcium is 9.1, sodium 135, potassium 4.1, carbon dioxide 24, and 4-3 of 23, microalbumin to creatinine ratio, mildly elevated at 42. Her glucose was 223, and hemoglobin A1C is 9.1. And the cardiac catheterization that was done 7-15 of 24 revealed mildly elevated biventricular filling pressures, a normal cardiac output and index, angiographically normal coronary arteries. So she tolerated the procedure well without coronary artery disease. Assessment and plan. One, stage 3B, chronic kidney disease, most likely secondary to diabetic nephropathy, and cardiorenal syndrome is suspected strongly. We will get the actual cardiac catheterization report and the most recent echocardiogram done in Ann Arbor and for further review. The patient will be scheduled for kidney ultrasound with post-void bladder scan in Midland within the next 2 to 3 days. after that report is back, she may need a renal artery Doppler study, depending on the findings. We will continue to have lab studies done monthly, and a new lab order was given so she could get them done in early August. She asked about Farxiga use. We would hold on that for now. Her kidney function is right around 30 GFR. That's the point where we usually hold Farxiga. And metformin also should be held if the GFR is less than 30 due to the risk of lactic acidosis. But currently she's completely at 40, so it could be continued at this point. And she's going to have a follow-up visit with this practice in 2 months. The patient was also evaluated and examined by Dr. Fuente. All care was coordinated with and directed and approved by him. Mary Stunner, CNP/Jose Fuente, MD.